in first initiation, it's the devotee is really coming forward in front of everyone, in front of Krishna, Radha Goloka Nanda on the altar, and the Lord in the form of Govinda Shila Gauri Tai, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Vijayananda. They are there, and they are watching, and the devotees are coming forward in front of them, in front of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, in front of the spiritual master who's giving them initiation, and in front of all of you. In other words, in front of the public, the people, all the devotee community, that here we are. Here we are. And we are openly and publicly committing to Krishna consciousness. Committing in the sense that there are vows that the devotees today will be taking certain vows. Vows that they will do certain things without fail every day, and vows that they will not do certain things ever again in their lives. These are very important vows. It's not just for the day or for some brief period, but lifelong vows. I don't know about here in Mauritius, but where I was brought up, there was a practice, I think there still is, of New Year vows. Yeah, that when January the 1st comes, people would make, I forget the exact term, what is it? Resolutions, New Year's resolutions, that from now, January the 1st, I am going to do something better. And those New Year's resolutions are famous for not lasting. Often more than the day or the part of the day. But these resolutions, these vows, they're deep commitments. Not just made internally like a personal decision, but like we said, made in front of everyone up to the Supreme Lord. So those are big commitments. And yes, so what are those vows then? Let us just explore that a little. What are the vows that these devotees take? Well, those of you who are familiar with Krishna consciousness, who have been around the Krishna consciousness movement for some time, you will know that the main process, the main program, the main thing we do, which everyone does if they're involved in the Krishna consciousness movement, the Hare Krishna movement, the main thing is they chant Hare Krishna. That is the process for this age. It is Kali Yuga, the most degraded age, and we see it so much. It's the most degraded age. And in this age, the recommended process for spiritual development is chanting the holy names of the Lord, and even most particularly chanting the actual Hare Krishna mantra, which is the Maha mantra, the great mantra, the greatest mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you, Church. Let's look. Yes, so there's a famous verse which anyone who's a regular practitioner would know very well from Scripture. Hari Ranam, Hari Ranam, Hari Ranam, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nascheva, 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 Gatiya Anyata. This is actually Brihat Naradevara. Oh, Shri Kirti Prabhu, I didn't see you coming. Sorry. Well, just let me add, we're very fortunate, and I'm just really happy that over here on my right, by the window, we've been joined by His Grace Shri Kirti Prabhu, who's visiting here. He was Srila Prabhupada's personal assistant. For quite some time, I forget how many years, but a number of years, several years, and just directly associated with and assisting Prabhupada, sort of 24/7 for quite some years. And therefore he was very close to Prabhupada, and he had many experiences with Prabhupada. Interesting, educational, informative experiences, and he's visiting here, I think, for the first time.
Yes.
Yes. Moving around Ildoris and doing programs, explaining about his experiences and what he learned from his association with Prabhupada. So thank you very much for coming. And as good my friend Vishnu, I saw her other shoes. Vishaka is Rusi. I just spoke in Russian. She's from Russia. Yeah. In Pato Moshe Vidyamaru Gabriel Sarami, Naruska, Yusuka. Yeah. And also in Pratika Rat. Okay, so it's very nice that she's here also, a very long time devotee who I've known. I don't know, 25 years maybe, something like that, or even a little more. So thank you for coming too, specifically for fun. Right, and we were expecting His Holiness Amiya Vilas Maharaj. Anyway, let's see if he comes. He's another very senior, very nice devotee disciple of Prabhupada. Anyway, so then we mentioned this verse, right? It's a verse from Brihat Naradeva Purana. It's one of the Puranic literatures. And it's saying, Harianame Kevala, the chanting of the holy names. What it's saying specifically is, chant the holy names, chant the holy names, chant the holy names three times. Chant the holy names of Hari, Krishna, Hari Ranam. In this age of Kali, the current times that we're in, there's no other way, three times to achieve the goal of life. Gati, the goal. So that's clear. That's really clear. The process in this age is chanting the holy names. We do other things. It's not that we only chant the holy names and we just do nothing else. Here, of course, we have the beautiful deities. We worship the deities, as you can see, they're just worshipped to just a very beautiful and wonderful, in very beautiful and wonderful ways. And sometimes we do fire sacrifice, as we're just about to do. These are other activities, important activities, according to the Vedic tradition and in the Krishna consciousness movement. So it's not that we only chant the holy names, But amongst the many important activities like these, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the most important, to the point, to the degree that, if somehow or other you do nothing else other than chant the holy names, I mean, generally we do other things also, but if you do nothing else but chant the holy names, that will be sufficient for your perfection. But if you do everything else or anything else but you don't chant the holy names, you will not be able to achieve perfection. It is the key to the lock, to the door, back home, back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world. So yes, just that without anything else, if it's done properly, is sufficient. Everything else without that, you won't be successful. Even worshipping the deity, even performing five yajna, but without the chanting of the holy names, and particularly Hare Krishna, it will not work. So therefore, great emphasis naturally is given to this chanting in this movement. And the devotees, in fact, these seven devotees, they will be vowing, as we'll see shortly, they will be vowing to chant a certain minimum amount of Hare Krishna every day, in keeping with that idea. Now, of course, when you chant, the chanting has to be up to a proper standard. Not that you just chant in some absent-minded way and, you know, like that. But one really has to focus and really try one's level best to chant properly. And what this means in practical terms, what this involves, is that there are what is called 10 offenses in the chanting of the holy names, which the devotees, in order to really chant properly and get the real effect from the chanting, they need to avoid those 10 offenses. If they don't avoid, if they're sort of casual about it, then the chanting, even if they chant, it will not have so much effect. So let us just mention the 10 offenses Prabhupada would do often, at least, when he would give first initiation, and devotees who are receiving initiation, and actually any of you, be ready, I may ask you to tell us what is one of the 10 offenses as we go. So be ready. First offense is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy names of the Lord. You know, we could go elaborately into each one, we won't do that. But the basic idea here is that the devotees are, any devotee is very dear to Krishna. Prabhupada would give the example, just like a little child. A little dependent child is very dear to the parents, of course. So similarly, a devotee who is sincerely trying to serve the Lord is very dear to the Lord. And the Lord will do so many things to help them, that devotee. And if anyone offends that devotee, well, it's something like with a parent. So many of you are parents, and you know what it's like if someone somehow mistreats your child, particularly if it's a small little child. Oh, the parents become very disturbed, quite rightly. So Krishna also is someone who abuses his devotees. Krishna just does not appreciate, and he will take action against such a person. So that's the first offense. Second offense, and this is particularly one for those from Hindu backgrounds or Hindu type backgrounds, which I think the vast majority here from some sort of background of some sort like that, is to consider the names of demigods, the devatas, devas and devis, like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Durga, Ganesh. Last night we were in Mayberry, we did a program in the temple of Dakshineshwari, Kali, Kali Ma, big Kali with the chopper in her hand. So, the second offense then is to consider the names of such personalities to be equal to or independent of the names of the Supreme Lord. And of course, these are very great persons. We're not saying that they are to be just overlooked or anything like that at all. But to consider them to be on the same level as the Supreme Lord, oh, that's a real offense. They are, so to speak, members of the, it's almost like governmental arrangements for this universe, the management structure of this universe under the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. So, and to consider their names to be equal to or independent of the names of Lord Krishna. That's the second offense, because well, you might wonder why just their name, or why their names. The thing is, the Lord and his name are the same. So when we chant Krishna, he is there with us. So, the name is the person. So if you consider the names of the devatas to be equal to the names of Krishna, then you're saying you think that they, the devatas, are equal to Krishna, which is not accurate at all. It's really not accurate at all. Of course, they're very great persons. We offer them great respect, but not in that sense of thinking they're on the same level. Then third offense is that this may be orders of spiritual master, that we are born in ignorance. And in a spiritual sense, in terms of our relationship with God, even when people are adults, they're also in ignorance. In that sense, they may know so many facts and figures, how to be engineers, lawyers, whatever it may be, but they don't understand their relationship with the Lord generally at all. So ignorance is very prominent in this world. And if someone in their ignorance of these higher subject matters thinks they know better than the spiritual master, who's meant to be an authority on such things, well, this is real foolishness. It's real foolishness. Then the fourth offense. One of the initiates, who can tell us the fourth offense? Any volunteer? Or shall I appoint a volunteer? My head. Fourth.
To blaspheme the Vedic rituals, such as the four Vedas, the Puranas, and the rituals in questions with Vedic
question. Okay, thank you very much. That's right. That It's one thing to disobey the orders of the spiritual master and think that you know better than him. It's another thing to think that you know better than the Supreme Lord from whom the Vedic literatures have come, or literatures in pursuit of the Vedic version means the writings of the very great acharyas and representatives of the Supreme Lord, like Prabhupada himself, like the six Goswamis, these great personalities in our mind. And fifth offense. Yes, Mataji Peter. And then imagination, very good. To think that the glories of the chanting of the holy names are imagination. Because we've already mentioned a little bit how this chanting is the main activity, and how without it you can do anything and it's not really going to help you so much. So someone may think this is an exaggeration. Some over-enthusiastic Hare Krishna devotee has got carried away and is now attributing too much potency, importance to this chanting. There are statements, for example, that if you chant the name of Krishna just once, one time, properly, perfectly, purely, one time, that could be enough to free you from the reactions to so many sinful activities you performed in the past, even like thousands of lifetimes or millions, or even more, unlimited number of lifetimes, just if you chant the name Krishna once, perfectly. And someone may think, ah, this is just exaggerating. But it's not. So, to consider the glories of chanting the holy names to be imagination, this is the fifth offense. And then sixth offense is to give some sort of interpretation, like mundane interpretation, to the chanting of the holy names. In essence, it means something like to compare it. Interpret it, to compare it with some material, like material religious activity. Just as an example, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's the description how Lord Chaitanya, the most recent incarnation of Krishna, in his young days, he was teaching Sanskrit, and he was also showing himself to be a great devotee, always chanting Hare Krishna and so on. And one of the students, hoping to get good marks from the teacher, Lord Chaitanya, he thought, let me express some glorification, some appreciation of the chanting of Hare Krishna, and then Lord Chaitanya, my teacher, will be pleased with me and I'll get good marks. So what he said was that he told Lord Chaitanya, you know, I think this chanting of Hare Krishna is so nice. It's so wonderful. I think it is as good as performing what they call an Ashvamedha Yajna, which is literally, Ashva means horse. It's a horse sacrifice, which is in fact in the Vedic literatures dealing with materialistic religion and sacrifices and so on for the purpose of getting material benefits. The Ashvamedha is the biggest. It is the biggest yajna and most powerful. So now the student is comparing the chanting of Hare Krishna with that, and expecting that Lord Chaitanya, who's very shown displaying so much Krishna consciousness, Lord Chaitanya will say, "Oh, that's very nice, thank you," and be pleased with him. But Lord Chaitanya was not pleased, because Ashvamedha Yajna is material for some material benefit, like money, health, etc., this sort of thing. Just some worldly benefit. Whereas the chanting of Hare Krishna is the developing your relationship with the Lord and ultimately returning to the eternal spiritual kingdom of God to associate with the Lord. So they're just different categories. So Lord Chaitanya did not become pleased. Rather, he picked up a stick and he chased that fellow student to hit him for saying something he considered offensive against the chanting of the holy names. That's the sixth offense. Seventh offense is to commit sinful activity on the strength of chanting the holy names. Like we mentioned, if you chant, we specifically mentioned, if you chant Hare Krishna once perfectly, you get free from unlimited sinful reactions. All your path is just gone, just like that. So an unscrupulous person may think, very good, I will have an enthusiastic program of sinful activity, and every evening before I go to bed, I will chant Hare Krishna one time and get free from it all and start off the next day with a clean karmic slate. So no, you can't get away with that. This process is not mechanical. Krishna is a person, and he's highly intelligent, to say the least, and he's watching. And if someone tries to take advantage for some material purposes, exploit the chanting of his holy names for material purposes, well, the Lord will not let you get away with that. Then the eighth offense. Who's going to tell us what's the eighth offense? You want to tell us? No? Okay. Yeah, Radhika. Eight. Wait. To consider. No. To actually be a materialistic type of prayer or religious activity, like what they call karma kandiya, these materialistic sacrifices. It's similar to the sixth one. Sixth one was to make some comparison that it's like that. This one means you actually think it is one of those many materialistic prayers. Just, praying for money or health or whatever it may be on the material level. Praying that Boris Johnson doesn't become the Prime Minister of England. Anyway, it's too late. He just did. But that's just by the way. I think many people were praying like that. But it didn't work. Okay. Yeah. So the chanting of Hare. Of course, Krishna can give anything if he wants. Everything is under him. Everything is under his control. But ultimately, what he wants to give, and the chanting of Hare Krishna particularly is for developing our relationship with Him and going back to the kingdom of God. Then the ninth offense is to preach the glories of the holy names to people who are faithless. Of course, you know, the people in general, and particularly if you go, you know, to the more westernized parts of the world, Europe, America, etc., they generally, so many of them are not faithful that they don't really have faith in God. So many atheists, agnostics, and materialists who just, they don't care about God. So this offense then to preach the glories of the holy names to people who are faithless doesn't mean that we should just not preach at all, because seeing the people, you know, they're not interested, they don't have faith, at least in so many cases. So we just keep to ourselves and just chant Hare Krishna together and ignore those people. No. The movement of Lord Chaitanya means we're trying to give Krishna consciousness at least to as many people as possible. But in this case, someone who's faithless, what it really means, the idea is, someone who is antagonistic, someone who is opposed to these things, someone who, if you try to explain some of these things, the person will just get angry with you. You know, like, in some cases it would include trying to preach about Hare Krishna to people who are like fanatical followers of other religious processes. You know, unfortunately such people exist. They're just fanatically, dogmatically attached to certain ideas. And if you try to even have just a reasonable discussion, they get extremely upset, even sometimes violently. So that we shouldn't do. But to preach to the people in general, that we should try to do, and try to find those people a little open-minded. Then the tenth offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names, and to maintain material attachments, even after hearing so many instructions on this matter. You know, now, particularly for those who are going to be initiated, or those who are, then, like we said, it is commitment. We're committing that this is, I will do this, and this is the focal point of my life now. So when a person comes to that point of making that type of decision, then at least one way of putting it is we should not look back too much. Where did I come from? You know, in terms of my program of activities before, you know, for so many there were boyfriends, girlfriends, involvement in intoxication in many cases, and eating wrong things, etc., etc. So we have to put all that behind us and look forward to the lotus feet of the Lord and really apply ourselves to the process for approaching the lotus feet of the Lord. That's the basic idea there. And then also, it's also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. We should really make our best effort to chant nicely and not just let the mind wander here and there. So that's one thing which is there in first initiation. Another thing And in terms of vows, is the devotee's vow to avoid the four like foundational sinful activities. They vow that no meat eating, no meat, fish, eggs, onions, garlic, no intoxication, and what to speak of liquor or narcotics, but including no tea or coffee even, no gambling, and no illicit sex life. So when the devotees receive initiations, this is in a couple of minutes, they will vow that I will not do those things. And then, of course, the devotees is kind of the most colorful part, exciting part of the whole, what we're doing right now. Then the devotees receive new spiritual names. And we have come up with, I think, some nice new spiritual names for our devotees here, the initiates. And for the future, except for like official business, then they should be addressed by their spiritual names. It's like a new spiritual identity. It's like a new birth when you receive initiation. And of course, the spiritual master vows internally to do whatever he can to help deliver the disciple to the lotus feet of the Lord. So if the devotees really apply these principles, these teachings, and they really try to take it seriously and make Krishna consciousness the focal point of their lives, then the initiation helps tremendously. It helps tremendously. The connection with the disciplic succession coming from Krishna is really solidified more. Not that the initiating spiritual master replaces Prabhupada in the lives of the initiated devotees, but it's an addition. An addition. Someone who can help you understand and come closer to Brahma, and also clarify things in Krishna consciousness, help you with your problems, see that you're engaged nicely, help you to engage better. Like this, being initiated, for one who really uses, takes advantage of the facilities which are there through first initiation, is all extremely helpful. Extremely helpful. If one takes it seriously. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Do you want to say a few words? You're welcome. Yeah? Okay. Give him the mic. Or a mic. Or...
Actually, this is one of the first initiation ceremonies I've attended in many, many years. And hearing you speak very well.